All right, welcome back for another deep dive. You know how this works, right? You send us the research that's got you thinking, and we dive in. And this time, you've given us a real humdinger.
Yeah, I'd say so.
This paper, Scaling Laws in Scientific Discovery with AI and Robot Scientists. Just the title alone, I mean, come on, it sounds like something out of, I don't know, a near future sci-fi thriller, doesn't
It's
it?
a little bit, yeah, definitely ambitious.
But that's what we love about it. It really gets at this idea that's been bubbling up, you know, that AI and robotics, they're not just tools anymore. They're poised to completely change how we do science, like from the ground up, like a total revolution.
Totally. And the scaling laws part of the title, that's hinting at something really big too. Like, what if scientific progress could, suddenly accelerate exponentially? Because these systems, these autonomous generalist scientists the paper talks about, what they call AGS, they keep getting better and better.
It's like, whoa, hold on. Science is about to go into overdrive. Okay, so to really get this, let's think about how science works right now, you know, in the real world. It's still very much a human endeavor, isn't it? You got researchers spending hours in labs running these meticulous experiments, dedicating years, decades even, to really mastering their field. What are the kind of built-in limitations there in that very human way of doing things that maybe AI and robotics could break through?
Yeah, great question. So first off, traditional research, it's really demanding. Like just staying up to date with all the new research that's constantly being published, it's a Herculean task. And then you have to actually design the experiments, carry them out, and that often requires some pretty specialized expertise.
It's like, you know, imagine trying to put together a puzzle, a giant puzzle. But the pieces are spread out in like libraries all over the world, and only a few people have the keys to certain rooms.
That's a great way to put it. And then even when you do manage to bring together experts from different fields, which is, crucial for tackling those really big, thorny problems, collaborating across those disciplines, it can be tough. Everyone's got their own jargon, their own ways of doing things and trying to coordinate all of that. Well, it takes a lot of time and effort.
And then there's AI. We
Right.
can't ignore the elephant, or maybe the
Yeah.
robot, in the room, right? We've seen what these new AI systems, especially these large language models, can do with data, with language. I mean, it's pretty mind-blowing, you know, generating text, even writing code, pulling insights from mountains of information.
Absolutely. But even with all that power, as the paper points out, AI in science right now, it's still pretty limited when it comes to actually making discoveries. AI isn't out there designing experiments from scratch and running them in a lab. Not yet, at least.
Right. It's more like a really smart assistant at this point, analyzing data we already have, maybe automating some really specific tasks, but not the big picture stuff.
Exactly. And that's where things get really interesting. The paper argues that the real game changer is going to be when we can combine this incredible AI brain power with, well, with robots that can act in the real world. That's how we start to get these, autonomous generalist scientists that can move between the digital world and the physical world seamlessly.
Like, it needs to be able to not only read a cookbook, but actually go into the kitchen, grab the ingredients, whip up a meal, and then, like, understand why the souffle did or didn't rise.
Exactly. And on that point, we are still working on making sure AI is reliable, right? Like sometimes LLMs can hallucinate, come up with stuff that's just plain wrong, but researchers are getting better at making AI self-critique, double check its own work. But even with that, the biggest hurdle right now is getting AI to operate out there in the messy, complex, real world, and not just in one specific area. We need systems that can do chemistry, biology, physics, you name it, just like a human scientist.
So it's not enough to be a specialist. It has to be a true generalist, comfortable in any scientific environment.
Right. And that's why all the advances in general purpose robotics are so important. Like, we're starting to see robots that can do way more than just one thing. They're getting more adaptable, more dexterous, able to handle all sorts of physical tasks. And that could really speed things up in the lab. Imagine, robots collecting data 24/7, running experiments with incredible precision and consistency. That would be huge.
So we're talking about a tighter, more seamless workflow, right? Like what's planned in the virtual world, the AI thinking, can then be executed like right away in the real world by these very capable robots.
Exactly. And the paper lays out several really compelling reasons why building these autonomous research systems is so important for the future of science.
Okay, let's hear it. Why go to all this trouble to create these, you know, brainy robots that do science?
Well, for one, the sheer amount of scientific data we're generating these days, it's just exploding. I mean, it's becoming impossible for humans to keep up. Autonomous systems could help us sift through all that information, find the patterns, and speed up the research process.
So it's like, we need AI just to handle the information overload, and then actually make sense of it all.
Yeah. A big part of it. And then there's the specialization problem. You know, science has become so specialized that it's hard to get a handle on everything, but LLMs could help us synthesize knowledge from all these different fields, you know, break down those barriers and make it easier for people to understand and contribute to scientific discoveries.
Right. So it's not just about speed. It's also about making science more accessible and breaking down silos.
Totally. And these systems could also make us more creative, you know? Like, imagine an AI that can generate and test tons of hypotheses, way more than any human could ever think of on their own. And it could even be designed to specifically connect the dots between disciplines, you know, spot those connections that we humans might miss. Plus, think about reproducibility. One of the big problems in science is that it can be hard to replicate experiments. But if you've got these robots doing everything and recording every single step, well, that problem pretty much goes away.
That's a huge point. Reproducibility is a cornerstone of good science. And if these systems can help us achieve that more reliably, that's a big win. So the paper gets into the nitty-gritty of how an AGS would actually work. They've got five main modules, like the essential building blocks of an automated research process. Let's take them one by one.
Okay, so the first one is literature review. And this isn't just, you know, your typical keyword search on Google Scholar. It's much more than that. This would be an autonomous system that can really dig deep into scientific papers, like really understand them, and even get around those pesky paywalls that block access to so much research, something that even those fancy API-driven tools struggle with. It's mimicking how a human researcher would, you know, immerse themselves in all that existing knowledge.
So it's not just finding the papers, but it's reading them, getting the gist, understanding the key arguments, and figuring out what's really important. That's pretty remarkable. What's next?
Okay, so building on all that knowledge, you've got module number two, proposal generation. This is where the AGS takes everything it's learned and actually writes up a full-blown research proposal. You know, defining the problem, setting clear goals, suggesting new hypotheses. And importantly, it would also come up with detailed instructions for how to test those hypotheses, both through simulations in a virtual environment and with actual physical experiments done by robots.
So it's not just brainstorming. It's coming up with a solid plan that's ready to be put into action, both in the digital world and the real world.
Exactly. And then we come to the really exciting part, module number three, experimentation. This is where the rubber meets the road, right? The research actually happens. In the virtual world, the AGS runs simulations and crunches numbers. And in the real world, it uses its robot buddies to do all the hands-on stuff, you know, mix solutions, take measurements, tweak things as needed based on what the data is showing.
It's like the robot in the lab isn't just a mindless drone. It's got the ability to adapt and improvise as the experiment unfolds.
Yeah.
That's a whole other level of capability.
For sure. Okay, then we move to module four, which is manuscript preparation. Once the experiments are done, it's time to share the results with the world. This is where the AGS would take all the data, analyze it, interpret it, and put it all together into a paper that's ready to be published in a scientific journal.
So not only is it doing the science, it's also writing the paper. Think of all the time researchers could save if they didn't have to do that part themselves.
Yeah, huge time saver. And to make sure the paper is top-notch, it would even do a simulated peer review, like pretend it's being reviewed by other scientists, just like a real paper would. And finally, we get to module five, reflection and feedback.
This is where the system gets to, like, think about what it did, how it went, and figure out how to do it better next time.
Exactly. The AGS would constantly be evaluating itself, looking at the results of its experiments and taking in feedback, maybe from human collaborators or even from other AI systems. It's a self-learning system, constantly getting smarter and improving its research strategies.
Wow, it's like a scientific mind that never stops learning and refining itself.
Mm-mm.
Now, the paper also lays out this really cool framework, these different levels of automation in scientific discovery. It's not just like, boom, we go from humans doing everything to robots taking over. It's more of a gradual process.
Right. They've got five levels. Level zero is basically how a lot of science works today,
yeah.
Where there's no AI directly involved. You know, researchers are using all the traditional tools and methods. It works, but it can be slow, and it's easy for different fields to become isolated from each other.
So picture researchers in their labs using all the specialized equipment and software. But it's all driven by human ideas and human execution.
Right. And then we move up to level one, tool assisted. This is where we start to see those basic AI tools being used for very specific tasks, like using an LLM to help write part of a paper or a simple machine learning algorithm to do some basic data analysis. But the human is still calling the shots, making the big decisions.
So AI is like that helpful intern who can handle some of the grunt work, but the senior scientist is still in control.
Exactly. Then we bump it up to level two, the intelligent assistant. At this level, AI gets a lot more independent. It can go out and gather information on its own, run some pretty sophisticated simulations, and even start to put together knowledge from different fields. Like, there are systems like OpenDevin and Deep Research that are already doing this kind of stuff, but they still need a human to tell them what to focus on and to make sense of the results.
So AI is taking on more of the heavy lifting, but there's still that human expert in the loop, guiding things and making sure it's all on the right track.
Yep. Okay, now we get to level three, the collaborative partner. This is where it gets really interesting. This is where we start to see AI systems, often working together with those advanced robots we were talking about, becoming true partners with human scientists. Like, they can handle those really complex, multidisciplinary tasks, doing things that require a lot of precision and finesse, like manipulating tiny things in a biology lab or building intricate structures in engineering. And they do it in a way that really complements the human researchers, you know, each bringing their own strengths to the table.
So it's like a true team effort with humans and AI working side by side, each doing what they do best.
Exactly. And then we get to level four, the autonomous researcher. This is where things start to feel almost, I don't know, science fiction-y. At this level, AI is basically running the show. It can design and conduct its own research in both virtual and real-world settings, pulling in information from all over the place, and even coming up with new ideas and insights. The paper mentions these things called AGIR, Artificial General Intelligence Robots, as a potential example. And while they might still benefit from a little bit of human guidance now and then, they're pretty much calling the shots.
It's like the AI is becoming a real scientific colleague, you know, someone you can bounce ideas off of and who can come up with their own research questions to explore.
Right.
And then finally, we have level five, the pioneer. This is the really far out stuff, the long-term vision of AI systems called ASI. In the paper, artificial superintelligence robots that are so advanced, they blow human capabilities out of the water. They can do it all on their own without any human intervention, and who knows what kind of amazing breakthroughs they'll come up with. But like the paper says, this is a long way off, and there's still a lot we don't know about how to get there.
It's a little dizzying to even think about, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that we're even starting to imagine these possibilities is pretty incredible. Okay, so to actually get from where we are now to those higher levels, we need a plan. And the paper lays out a roadmap, a step-by-step guide for building these autonomous research systems. And they start with, you guessed it, literature review. Because even the smartest AI needs to be able to learn from what's already out there right now. For sure. And the paper really digs into how AI can transform that whole process. Like, think about how we do literature review now. It can be really time-consuming, and you constantly run into those paywalls. The paper talks about how some current methods, you know, using structured databases and APIs, they just can't keep up. There are delays in indexing new research, and a lot of journals don't even have APIs, so you're locked out.
Right. So you might miss out on the latest findings. And even if you find the papers you need, sometimes you just can't get to them. It's frustrating.
It is. But the paper highlights these new things called OS agents, short for operating system agents. They're designed to interact with digital platforms just like a human user would, like GPT-4 Vision, OS Copilot, and some others. They can go directly to websites, open up applications, you know, do all the things a human would do. And that means they can get around those API limitations and access a lot more research, including stuff that's behind paywalls.
So these AI agents are basically learning how to use a computer like a human researcher would, giving them a much wider range of information to work with. Pretty clever.
Yeah, it is. But once these agents have gathered all this info, the next step is to make sense of it, right?
Yeah.
And that's where intelligent processing, synthesis, and gap identification come in. This is where AI goes way beyond just finding keywords. They're using advanced reasoning models to analyze the actual content of all that research, understand the relationships between different ideas, pick out the key arguments, and even extract structured data.
So it's like the AI is reading the papers, not just skimming them for keywords and then putting all that information together in a meaningful way.
Yeah. And the ultimate goal here is to identify the big trends, the emerging themes, the things we already know, and most importantly, the gaps in our knowledge, the questions that haven't been answered yet. It's not just about summarizing what's already out there. It's about figuring out what we don't know and what we should be focusing on next.
So it's like having an AI research assistant that can not only find the relevant research, but can also tell you where the knowledge frontier is, where the most exciting new discoveries might be hiding. That's incredibly powerful.
It is. And the paper makes this great comparison between the old school knowledge-based systems, the API-driven approaches, and these new OS agents. And it's clear that OS agents, with their ability to use computers like a human and adapt to different platforms, are a huge step forward in automating the whole literature review process. And once we have that solid foundation of knowledge, we can move on to the next stage, proposal generation.
Which is where the AI stops just summarizing the existing research and actually starts coming up with its own research questions, right?
Exactly. And it's not just about asking the questions. It's about figuring out how to answer them. So we're talking about automating things like, you know, defining the problem, creating hypotheses that can actually be tested, figuring out the best way to test those hypotheses, and even planning out all the details of the research project.
So it's basically like you give the AI a bunch of research papers and it spits out a fully formed research plan ready to go.
Pretty much. And the paper talks about how this process can be super rigorous, you know, involving all sorts of checks and balances. Like the system can use multiple AI components to evaluate different parts of the proposal. And it can even get feedback from human experts and simulated peer reviewers to make sure the proposal is both novel and feasible.
So it's like having a built-in research advisor helping you refine your ideas and make sure they're as good as they can be.
Exactly. And from there, we naturally flow into the next stage, experimentation. This is where the virtual and physical worlds really come together. And the paper points out that experimentation has these two sides, virtual and physical, that are important in pretty much every area of science. Like in the virtual world, AI is already making huge strides, running simulations, crunching data, all that good stuff. But when it comes to the physical world, well, things are a little more challenging. We still haven't figured out how to give AI the same level of dexterity and adaptability that humans have in the lab.
Yeah, like a chemistry AI might be great at modeling molecules on a computer, but actually going into the lab and mixing chemicals, handling delicate equipment, that's a whole other ballgame.
Right. And while we do have some pretty cool robots that can do specific tasks in the lab, they're often very specialized. Like you might have a robot that's great at pipetting liquids, but ask it to do something else and it's lost. What we really need are general purpose robotic systems with embodied AI. Robots that can learn new things, adapt to different situations, and handle all sorts of tasks. The paper talks about this system called OpenDevin, which is showing some real promise in that area.
So robots that are less like specialized tools and more like, you know, the human grad students who can handle pretty much anything you throw at them in the lab.
Exactly. But of course, there are still a lot of hurdles to overcome. Like, these robots need to be able to see and understand the world around them. They need to be able to make decisions on the fly. They need to be safe to work with. And of course, we need to think carefully about all the ethical implications.
It's like, we're not just building robots. We're building partners, collaborators, maybe even someday colleagues. And that comes with a lot of responsibility.
Absolutely. But the paper lays out a really interesting framework for how we can bring together all the pieces to make this work. It's about integrating the brains of AI with the brawn of robots in a way that's safe, ethical, and really productive.
So it's about more than just building cool robots. It's about creating a whole new ecosystem for scientific discovery, where humans and AI work together in a way that amplifies both of our strengths.
Yeah.
That's an exciting vision.
It is. And the next step in this roadmap, after all the experiments have been done, is manuscript preparation automation. This is all about using AI to take all that raw data and turn it into a polished scientific paper that's ready for prime time. And this could be a huge help for researchers, you know, freeing up their time so they can focus on the big picture stuff.
Like right now, writing a paper can feel like a chore, a necessary evil. But what if it could be more streamlined, more efficient, and even, dare I say, more enjoyable?
Yeah, totally. And the framework outlined in the paper is super detailed. It talks about automated manuscript drafting, where AI takes the lead in writing up the results, doing all the stats, creating visuals, and summarizing the key findings. And then there's diversified content integration. You know how in scientific papers you've got figures, tables, graphs, videos, sometimes even animations? Well, AI can handle all of that. pulling it all together and making it look super professional.
And let's not forget about references, because those can be a real pain to manage. So there's citation coordination, where AI basically becomes your personal reference librarian, making sure all your citations are formatted correctly and your bibliography is up to snuff. And then there's documentation support, where AI can actually help you write the different sections of the paper, you know, the introduction, the methods, the results, the discussion. It can even help with those complicated mathematical formulas that always seem to mess up the formatting.
Yeah, it's like having a super-powered research assistant who's also an expert in technical writing and formatting. But the paper doesn't stop there. It also talks about peer review simulation, which is really important for making sure the research is high quality.
Because even AI needs a second opinion, right?
Exactly. So the system has these internal review mechanisms where the AI basically critiques itself, and it can also get feedback from other AI agents. And then there's external peer review, where it can actually be reviewed by human experts, just like a regular paper. And once the paper is ready to go, there's the finalization and submission phase, where AI handles all the formatting and submission requirements for different journals. It's really trying to automate the entire publishing process.
Wow, so it's not just about doing the research, it's about sharing it with the world in a way that's efficient, rigorous, and, you know, hopefully stress-free for the researchers. And then we come to the last piece of the puzzle, reflection and feedback. This is where the whole cycle comes back around, and the system gets to learn from its experiences.
Yep. This is where we have internal reflection, where the different parts of the AGS are constantly checking in with each other, analyzing their performance, and figuring out how to improve. And it also involves external insights, where it gets feedback from human supervisors and from those simulated peer reviews, constantly learning and refining its approach to research.
So it's not just a static system, it's a dynamic, evolving entity that's always getting better.
Yeah.
And the paper points out that this is where things can get a little tricky. You know, finding that sweet spot between giving the AI enough autonomy to do its thing and still having enough human oversight to make sure it's all going in the right direction.
Right. It's about finding that right balance. And the paper then goes on to discuss some big open questions, you know, the things we still need to figure out as we move forward with this whole autonomous research thing. And the first one that really grabbed my attention was, how do we handle all the publications that are going to be coming out of these AI and robot scientists?
That's a great question. Like, if AI is writing papers, who gets the credit? How do we make sure the research is legit? And where do these papers even go?
Right. And the paper proposes creating this new thing called AIX4Fee, which would be like a preprint server specifically for AI and robot-generated research. And the idea is that it would have its own special peer review process, maybe involving both human experts and other AI systems, to make sure the research is up to snuff. And they'd even have these open APIs so anyone could see what's going on and help evaluate the research. It's pretty wild.
It's like we're creating a whole new branch of science, one that's specifically for AI. That's pretty mind-blowing.
Right.
But like the paper says, figuring out authorship and making sure we have fair and unbiased ways to evaluate this kind of research, those are big challenges we need to tackle.
Well, absolutely. And the next big question the paper raises is about the robots themselves. Like, do they really need to be humanoid robots? You know, when we think of robots in the lab, we often picture something that looks kind of human with arms and legs and a head.
Yeah, like a little metal scientist running around the lab.
Exactly. But the paper points out that humanoid designs might not be necessary or even the best choice for every situation. Like, sometimes a specialized robot that's really good at one specific task might be more efficient. Or maybe you need a robot that can handle really extreme environments like outer space or the deep sea. And those robots probably wouldn't look very human.
So it's really about designing the right robot for the job, just like you would design any other tool, right?
Right. And the last big question they discuss is about independent scientific inquiry in extreme environments. This is where things get really exciting. Like, imagine sending AI-powered robots to explore other planets or the deepest parts of the ocean, places where it's too dangerous or difficult for humans to go.
It's like the ultimate scientific adventure.
It is. And these robots wouldn't just be collecting data. They'd be making decisions, running experiments, maybe even coming up with their own research questions based on what they're finding. The paper even talks about creating these interconnected networks of robot scientists spread out across different planets or different parts of the ocean, all working together to expand our understanding of the universe.
Wow, that's a truly mind-expanding vision. But of course, there are a lot of challenges, like making sure these robots are safe for the environments they're exploring and that they can operate reliably for long periods without human intervention.
For sure. And to wrap things up, the paper has an impact statement that really emphasizes how important this whole framework is for the future of science.
So what's the takeaway? Why should we care about all this?
Well, the paper argues that having this clear, structured way to think about autonomous scientific systems is going to be crucial for moving this whole field forward. It's going to help researchers from different disciplines talk to each other. It's going to help us develop better tools and technologies, and it's going to help us figure out how to deal with all of the ethical issues that come along with this kind of work.
Because the ethics of AI and robotics are super important. Mm. We have to make sure these systems are being developed and used responsibly.
Absolutely. And finally, the paper has a conclusion that brings it all together. It basically says that this whole idea of autonomous generalist scientists, it's not just a pipe dream. It's a real possibility, and it has the potential to revolutionize how we do science.
So we're talking about a future where AI and robots aren't just tools, they're partners, collaborators,
yeah.
And maybe even someday scientific pioneers in their own right.
Exactly. It's a future where scientific discovery can happen faster, more efficiently, and maybe even in ways we can't even imagine right now. And that's pretty darn exciting.
Well, this has been a wild ride. This paper really gives us a lot to think about. I mean, the idea of AI and robots becoming scientists, it might sound like science fiction, but the paper lays out a pretty compelling case for how it could actually work. And the potential benefits are just enormous.
Absolutely. Like we were talking about, what if these systems could help us solve those scientific mysteries that have been stumping us for centuries? What if they could lead to breakthroughs in medicine, energy, space exploration, you name it? The possibilities are endless.
I think we're just scratching the surface of what's possible. And it makes you wonder, what kind of world will we be living in when these autonomous scientists are out there making discoveries alongside us, or maybe even without us? It's a really thought-provoking question, and one that I think we're all going to be grappling with in the years to come.
For sure. And on that note, thanks for tuning into this deep dive. We highly recommend you check out the paper for yourself, Scaling Laws in Scientific Discovery with AI and Robot Scientists. It's a real eye-opener. And who knows, maybe it'll spark some new ideas of your own.
Until next time. Keep those research requests coming, and keep exploring the frontiers of knowledge with us.